I just want to say hello to everyone and welcome you to the 10 Minutes for 12 Weeks to Your New Life. I'm Kathy Kirk. I'm the founder of Applied Spirituality, and I'll be your Sherpa for this journey to an amazing new view of life. For you to get the most out of these talks over the next 12 weeks, there's a few housekeeping items to bring to your attention before we get started. The first one is, number one, this is a religion-neutral zone. And what this means is that every religion is included in what you hear and learn. In fact, if you have no religion, if you're an agnostic, if you're an atheist, if you're included, you're included here as well. Even if you consider yourself a spiritual person and have studied ancient texts and explored practices, you're also in the right place. The only requirement for you to be here is that you're a human being, which I'm assuming no aliens have joined us. But if there are, you're included too. We are all here to learn a new way of looking at life and how powerful we are, no matter what the current situation. So the bottom line is, no matter who you are, what your circumstances, or your personal story, you can and will benefit in the coming 12 weeks. If you take the time to think about what you're going to learn here and make the effort to apply these things to your everyday life, you will absolutely be a changed person for the better, I promise. I will even say this, you could be perfectly happy and content and still find ways to expand into even greater heights of personal freedom and happiness and joy. So once again, let me welcome you, whoever you are, and wherever you are personally in your life, things have just begun to improve. It's no accident you're here. Number two, your willingness is fundamental. In order for you to expand, you must come to the table with an open mind and an open heart. You must be willing to grow yourself and reach beyond where you are now. This means you must let go of things that are holding you back. Let me use the example of a mountain climber. At base camp, the climber begins his ascent with all the necessary gear, a spirit of adventure, courage, pitons, ropes, food, good shoes, camping gear, and of course, a trusted guide to show him the way. This Sherpa is the one who will get the climber to the top of the mountain. In our case, the top of the mountain is a view of life that enables you to see more clearly, feel freer than you do right now, feel safe and confident in your own hands. I'm your guide, and I promise you that at the end of these 12 weeks, you will feel freer, safer, and more confident in your own hands. A mountain climber in his ascent uses a piece of gear called a piton. A piton is a metal stake, it's usually steel, that's driven into a crack or a seam in the rock with a hammer, and which acts as an anchor to protect the climber against the consequences of a fall, or to assist his progress in climbing upward. Pitons are equipped with an eye hole or a ring to which a carabiner is attached. In the carabiner, a mountain climbing clip can then be directly or indirectly attached to a climbing rope. Our journey is akin to roped soloing, which is the safest form of climbing. Along the way, the climber pounds pitons into the rock to give a footing, a strong base, if you will, from which he or she can move upward. Consider each piton into the rock as a personal belief. Every belief you've held in your life has served to move you upward in your understanding and your performance of life. But certainly the ones you used at base camp are no longer the ones you're using mid-climb. We have to release ourselves from the tether to our old beliefs, or we cannot climb any higher. If we don't unhook ourselves, let them go for new beliefs, they drag us up, they drag us down, make the climb harder, and ultimately will hold us back from any progress until we cut them loose and let them go. Of course, we place new pitons, new beliefs as we go, and these facilitate our climb to higher levels. So I repeat, you must be willing to expand and grow, which means letting go of what no longer serves you. Number three, everything you hear here, every recording, every handout, is proprietary information and may not be reproduced in any way, shape, or form. Everything is copyrighted and may not be reproduced in part or in whole without expressed written consent. Number four, every week I will deliver a 10-minute message to you. When taken together over the 12 weeks, will build not just information, but momentum. If you actually participate and do the lessons suggested, think about the message delivered throughout the week and actually implement and apply them into your everyday life, you are going to experience life in a new way, a better way, a more empowered and enriched way. What you do with the information, of course, is entirely up to you. That's what free will is all about. Number five, get yourself a fresh notebook to take notes. In your notebook, you will write down your ahas, your questions, your comments, your progress, and most importantly, your thoughts, which are your communications with yourself. The notebook is going to become very important to you over the coming weeks because this is where you will be communicating with yourself. Communicating with yourself is probably something most of you do not do right now, but you will come to appreciate it, and then you'll wonder how you got this far in life without it. And number six, any questions or comments or feedback you might have for me or about the messages, you can direct to me at coach@appliedspirituality.com. I will answer you personally. Now let's get started with message number one, choosing you. Most of us in Western culture were raised to think about everyone else before ourselves. This was the promise of unselfishness. If you sacrificed yourself, great was your reward later. Sacrifice in our culture is revered. We applaud those who sacrificed for country. We honor those who give up so much. We have an operating belief in the sanctity of sacrifice. So has been our example, our belief system, and our collective thought. But there's a giant fallacy in this thinking, for no one knows better than you do what you need, want, or desire. Furthermore, no one can provide those things to you but yourself. How this is, we will get into in greater detail later. But for now, let us set the first premise that no one is more important than you. And so you don't freak out, I'll add the statement that everyone is equally important. Everyone is created equal. Everyone is equally important. But what's been missing from the equation is that I am important. What I think, what I feel, what I need, what I want, and what I desire is not only important, but it's critical, not just to my health and happiness, but critical to the health and wellness of the whole of mankind. Stop here for just a second to let that digest with you. Imagine, what if your contribution to the world was important? Now, what happens to that contribution of yourself when you're operating from the belief that selfishness is a bad thing? Who then is taking great good care of your contribution? Who then, if not you, is answering the needs, wants, and desires of your soul? Here at the very beginning is the most important and crucial step. So take this slowly and methodically because you're going to come face to face with long-standing beliefs of thousands of years. They are that you don't matter, and they might sound like these. I'm insignificant. I'm unimportant. I have nothing of value to contribute. I'm a disappointment. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. My kids are more important. My spouse is more important. My country's more important, etc. When we operate out of a belief that encourages us to diminish who we are and what we have to contribute in any way, shape, or form, we deprive ourselves of our own fulfillment, but we also deprive the world of our gift of ourself. Again, I ask you to consider if you're not tending, nourishing, nurturing, and contributing your gifts and talents to the world, who then will? The Maharishi Mahesh Yogi said this, "The important thing is this, to be able at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could become." For whatever reason you've come to hear this or read this, you may have begun a weight loss program, encountered an illness, perhaps facing some other real life challenge of any nature, you're seeking to become either more empowered, more free, more happy, or more joyous. And this is right and good and as it should be, for this is how the universe expands, evolves, and grows through our seeking more good by any descriptor. But before anything can change or will change, there's a fundamental brick at the foundation of you that must be either replaced or repaired, shored up, or perhaps even put into place for the first time. And this brick is your commitment to you. We make commitments all the time. Commitments are promises that we intend to fulfill. These range from small things like promising to take out the trash to large things like signing up for the military or getting married. We make commitments to family, nation, job, religion, friends, and all types of causes. We are happy being committed to something that is fulfilling. It makes us feel good. We feel focused. We feel a member of something, like we belong to something larger than ourselves. We feel productive, purposeful, and useful. And these are all good things, to be sure. But here's a newsflash. Making the commitment to yourself is all of that and more. What I'm talking about here is not the me thing. Shoving in line to be first, taking the biggest slice of pizza, grabbing for what's yours or what you think ought to be yours. What I'm talking about here is being your own best friend, your closest ally, your truest love, your most valued advisor, and greatest cheerleader. What I'm talking about is being so for yourself that there is nothing in the world that you could ever do that would cause you to forsake yourself, hate yourself, or diminish yourself in any way. We can identify how this feels maybe as the way we feel about our children or a pet. I can remember the first time I saw my son. My heart sprang open so wide that it actually hurt physically. I was blasted by such a wave of love that it nearly knocked me over, and I had no idea that that kind of love existed before that. I had no idea whatsoever. Imagine now having such a bolt of love go through you, cracking your heart wide open, but this time, it's for you. Imagine you're feeling this kind of love and cherishing for yourself. How would that change your life? How would this uproot, overturn, and negate the beliefs that now operate within your human mind about yourself as being unworthy, undeserving, useless, worthless, powerless, or an unimportant creature? What if in one fell swoop you felt this utter and complete love and appreciation for you? How then would you regard your needs, your wants, and desires? For certainly, if your child needed something or wanted something, if it was within your power, you know you would do it. I knew in the moment I saw my son, I would throw myself in front of a bus for him, walk burning coals, or go without because I loved him so much. What if you felt that same way about yourself? This begins with making a personal commitment to you. Your assignments for the week are 1, write a statement of love and commitment to yourself. Make this agreement with yourself and do it as if you were making this promise to a spouse, to a child, to God, to country, or any other cause you deem worthy, and write it out. 2, consider what that would be like if you felt unconditional love for yourself. Take your notebook and answer the question, if I loved myself unconditionally, how would my life be different? Take up the question every day in a different way. How you live, who you'd hang with, what decisions would you make? How would it be different? Make a list of the things you really love and appreciate about yourself. Every day, add at least 5 things to the list with no repetitions. Do more if you can. 4, before and after each writing period, I want you to sit quietly and breathe in and breathe out, focusing only on your breath. Breathe in to the count of 4 and out to the count of 8, and do this for about 3 minutes. 5, periodically throughout the day, breathe when you take a bathroom break. Sit quietly and breathe for 3 minutes, focusing only on your breath. And 6, do this breathing exercise just before you go to sleep. That's it for lesson 1. This is a big week for you. Choose yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. That was awesome. And very helpful, I believe. So